way. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly.
Well, good morning and welcome back to the program, Evan Bray. It's always great to be here with you. It's a Thursday morning, a fairly nice one too. And boy, you think this day is nice in our province. Wait till you get a little deeper in the weekend. We're going to see plus temperatures, positive temperatures for mid-January or early in January. Nothing wrong with that, that's for sure. So we've got a fairly nice week ahead weather-wise before it cools off again. Well, it seemed like yesterday was the culmination of bad flight stories, wasn't it? Like we were hearing stories, our newsroom was following stories of lost luggage, of luggage being purposefully taken off the plane to reduce the weight of the plane before the flight even happened. And the legroom story that was kind of gone viral across Canada, WestJet reconfiguring the plane in a way to get more passengers on, but obviously reducing legroom. For a guy like me, who's the better part of 6'4", notice I gave height, but not weight. At the end of the day, it's already squishy on an airplane. I don't need it to get a little more tight. So, it's an interesting week. And in a good week, like if you look at a good week in Canadian Airlines, they tend to offer fewer perks than they did even 5 years ago. Less food, less legroom, fewer free checked bags. Not to mention the costs, of course, that go up with all, you know, you want this, you want to be able to recline, you want to have an exit row suite, you know, any, even just seat selection can cost more money. Well, it's interesting to know that Canadian Airlines might face new pressure to improve their service as the federal government opens the door to more competition from Middle Eastern carriers. And these carriers tend to be quite generous with everything from food to comfortable seats to free headphones, toys for kids. I mean, we're hearing all kinds of stories. The perfect person to bring in and start this conversation is John Graddick. We've had John on the program before. He's a Canadian aviation expert. He's coordinator of the aviation management program at McGill University. And I'm happy to have John joining us from his office this morning. John, thanks so much for taking the call.
Good morning, Evan. A pleasure to be here with your listeners.
I feel like we're off to a turbulent start in 2026 when it comes to air travel and people frustrated with things. Can you just talk just generally? Have we recovered from the pandemic or are we still feeling the effects of that?
We're still there. You know, I think that, you know, there is a fundamental change in the state of air travel in Canada and globally as a result of the pandemic. We have chronic shortages in staffing, both from pilots as well as air traffic controllers. We see daily ground stops being issued across Canada, Vancouver or Toronto or Montreal because of the shortage of controllers. We're seeing, you know, staff, you know, the contracts that we have with flight attendants caused all kinds of disruption last summer. Strikes with flight attendants. We've had threatened strikes by pilots at WestJet, Air Canada, and by Air Transat. So, you know, there's a lot of turmoil in the industry, a lot of angst, a lot of anxiety. And I think that, you know, this is really showing up in terms of the attitude that you get and the customer service component that you get when you fly on an Air Canada or a WestJet or a Transat airplane in Canada.
You know, customer service, I think, is an interesting term and one that I'm sure we'll come back to in this chat, John. Maybe just get your comment on a couple of these current stories. So WestJet's decision to, I'm not going to say it's a decision to reduce legroom, but it is a decision to increase the number of seats on the plane, reconfigure the plane that has resulted in a reduction of legroom. Do you have thoughts?
Yeah, this is deliberate. This is not a side issue associated with you know, getting a new seat on an airplane. When they made the launch announcement last fall, they said, we're going to introduce no recline seats. And we're also going to reduce the pitch on some of our seats. I think everybody was very upset about the no recline seats, and very little attention was being paid to the seat pitch and the distances in your seats spacing on board the airplane. And it came back with a vengeance over the holidays with these TikTok videos about passengers getting squeezed. If you're 6'4" and slightly over my weight, you know, 100 kilos. You know, as they say in Quebec, bonne chance. It's, it's not going to be a very pleasant flight, no matter how long you go, whether it's to Calgary or whether it's to Cancun, on those airplanes with the 28-inch pitch for people that are over 5'10", you're going to be stuck. And it might even be a situation where we're compromising safety on board the airplane with that type of tight seat.
Do you think, John, there will be any sympathy for the concerns that are being heard by travelers? Will this be reconsidered, or do you think this is just the new norm?
I think that, you know, there's one thing that's going to, you know, be the make or break event for WestJet on this issue. Air Canada is reconfiguring its 737 MAX airplanes. They've got 50 of them. They're not becoming the aircraft that Air Canada will be deploying under Air Canada Rouge services, which is their low-cost leisure market operations in North America. And their airplanes are being reconfigured as we speak. So I have yet to learn from my sources at Air Canada what the seat configuration and the seat pitch will be on those airplanes. So if they decide to go and match WestJet 28-inch pitch scheme, you know, we're going to have to take, you know, we're going to have to take our lunch and enjoy 28-inch pitch.
Mm-hmm.
But if Air Canada says that we're going to take 30-inch pitch, we're going to keep that as our standard. I think the writing's on the wall for WestJet to pull back on their 28-inch
right.
and forget that extra roll and bring it back to 30.
Aviation expert John Graddick is my guest. Okay, this story locally that got some attraction and some interest because it was a couple of flights that were out of our province down to Mexico. They were direct flights, but we had passengers on the plane here, boarded the plane in Saskatchewan, saw crews taking luggage off the plane, get to Mexico and find out, yeah, your luggage was taken off because of, I'm guessing, weight restriction. Is that common?
That's not common. It does happen. It does happen, and it's the, you know, typically due to weather and air traffic control. That if you are flying into places like Ixtapa or you're flying at Cancun, where there is a lot of congestion, and you might be caught in a holding pattern for an extended period of time over the airport before you land. You need the fuel to be able to do that. So in order to put more fuel on the airplane, something has to come off the airplane. And it's either, you know, passengers or baggage. So the choice was made by WestJet at the airport in Saskatchewan to basically offload the bags. And I'm not sure how many passengers' bags got offloaded, but it was really a safety concern to make sure the airplane had enough fuel to, in fact, do whatever holding patterns air traffic control was proposing.
Mm-hmm. John Graddick is my guest. Okay, let's talk about some of these new agreements to allow airlines from, for example, Saudi Arabia operate up to 14 passenger flights a week in Canada. How different are those airlines? Because I'm hearing some stories. I've never traveled on those airlines, but I'm hearing it's night and day when you travel on those planes in terms of the luxury, the free perks that come with it. Can you speak to that, John?
It's, you know, these are governments, you know, subsidized airlines, of course, that, you know, are basically been supported by the government. They've built amazing new airports in Riyadh, in Abu Dhabi, and in Dubai. So they're multi-billion-dollar facilities. The airlines have invested in brand-new airplanes. They're flying A350s, A380s. These carriers have tried to differentiate themselves from the rest of the world by basically looking at improving, you know, we used the word earlier, customer service. And they've taken customer service to a whole new level in aviation. We won't talk too much about, you know, first class or business class service on these carriers because it's second to none. And, you know, you're paying $15,000 a ticket to fly from Toronto to Dubai in first class. And, you know, not everybody can afford it, but those planes are full in first class. People can pay for it. But you get, you know, ultimate treat, and, you know, you get showers, you get beds, you get, you know, all kinds of, you know, meal enhancements and alcoholic beverages and all kinds of stuff. But in economy, the economy cabin, you know, it's still an economy seat, but the level of service, the level of attention, and the quality of the product that you're getting in an economy cabin on either Emirates or Etihad or even, you know, like Riyadh Air, is amazing. Once you've flown it, you will come back and say, why can't we do that in Canada? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the issue that Canadian carriers are going to have to be facing for the next few months and years.
Well, let's talk about that. We've only got a couple minutes left, John, but will this extension of some of these other countries, other these other airlines into Canada, cause an impact, that competition for WestJet and Air Canada to step up their game? Do you think it'll have any impact?
I think it will. I think you'll see, you know, Air Canada and WestJet having to do something about the interiors of their cabin. WestJet's got fairly new 787s, but the amenities we're seeing coming out of carriers that are trying to compete with these Middle East carriers, when you're talking about Lufthansa or British Airways or Air France, and the U.S. carriers, they've even upgraded their brand new 787s to be more in line with the amenities and the cabin environment of these air carriers. So it'll rub off. Once you fly on one of these carriers, Evan, you'll come back and say, oh my God, you know, why can't we have this in Canada?
We want that. Yeah.
Between Virginia and Toronto or Vancouver. We need that in Canada.
Before I let you go, John, anytime I have a conversation on the show, of course, listeners are texting in questions, and I've caught my eye here on a couple of questions that are related to the same topic that, while I've got you, I'd like to ask you.
Sure.
People are wondering, why does it seem that it's much more expensive to fly domestically, for example, in Canada from Regina to Toronto or from Saskatoon to Vancouver, seems to be more expensive than some of the flights you can get to Florida, for example. Is there any understanding of why it doesn't seem to be very cheap to fly within our own country?
It's not that perception. It's reality. And the reality is we have a very strange geography in our country. We're a very linear country. You know, 5,000 clicks from St. John's to Vancouver, and it's only 100 clicks wide. But we have got a lot of density in those travel markets in Canada that's to justify, you know, five or six or seven different carriers serving each city. So, you know, if you look at Toronto, Calgary, you look at Toronto, Vancouver, you look at Ottawa, you know, Ottawa, Edmonton, there's four or five carriers on those services, and there is price competition. However, Toronto, Saskatchewan to Vancouver, not many. Air Canada and maybe WestJet, or maybe WestJet and no Air Canada. So, you know, there's not a lot of competition. Competition drives price, and if you don't have that competition, I'm sorry, price will be what the carriers want to charge you.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there. We're at the end of our time, but John, I always appreciate you giving us some time. John Graddick, thanks so much for giving us a call.
My pleasure, Evan. Having a great day. Take care.
Aviation expert John Graddick, who is a coordinator of that aviation management program at McGill University, and lots of texts coming in on this. So why don't we do this? Let's take a break, and I'll jump into some of the texts and feedback I've had from other people in the province, what their experience has been, what their challenges are, and what their frustrations are with air travel when we come back here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.